Thank you, Dave and Elliot. Didn't they do a good job this morning? Just so you know, Pastor Dunston has taken some time off to get away so him and Jessica could get away and spend some time together. So we bless them and trust they're just having a great rest together. Mm-hmm. All right. And if I sound a little funny, I'm just getting over this nasty cold that's been going around, but it's okay. I just may be talking lower and lower and lower. But you can hear me, right? Hallelujah. You guys doing good? Praise God. Last week we talked about the foundation of faith. And, as it says in Hebrews 11, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And we learned our hope is not in a thing, but in a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. Our hope is in Jesus Christ and what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will yet do. And faith finds its confidence in the reliability of what is believed. And in Revelation chapter 19, John saw Jesus, who is called faithful and true. Our confidence is in Jesus, amen? Our God is true, he is faithful, and he can always be trusted. So if you were not here last week, I encourage you to take some time and go to the website and listen to that message online. So today I want to continue with the series Focused Faith, and we're going to continue to look at Hebrews chapter 11, but we're going to look at verses 32 to 40. And I've titled this talk, Faith Enables. Faith enables. Let's turn to Hebrews 11, 32 to 40. And there we read, starting at verse 32, what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell you about Gideon and Barak, Samson and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received their dead raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and even floggings and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Father, as we come and turn to your word, I pray that by your Holy Spirit that you would give us fresh revelation today, that you would continue to speak to us, and Lord, that you would cause fresh faith to arise in our hearts, Father. Have your way. Speak to us exactly what we need to hear. Let your anointing ride on my words and go into the hearts, Father, and accomplish exactly what you want your word to accomplish this morning in each person, Father, for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. So in verse 32, the author lists several people who accomplished some significant things through faith. And the list contains four men, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, from the period of the judges. And it's followed by David and Samuel, and then the prophets. And if you stop and think and study a little bit back in history, it's a little surprising, perhaps, to see some of these names. Because the interesting thing is that the first five men on this list had some serious weaknesses and failings. For instance, Gideon. Gideon believed that the Lord had abandoned Israel. And you know how he saw himself? He He saw himself as weak and helpless. He said, my clan is the weakest, and I'm the least in my family. You know, what can I do? Anybody ever feel like that? And he had to be patiently coaxed by God to do what God had called him to do. Yet as flawed as Gideon was, by faith, he defeated the Midian army of 135,000 with only 300 men. Then there's Barak. For 20 years, Israel had been crying out for deliverance from Jabin, king of the Canaanites, and Sisera, he was the commander of his army, and Sisera would cruelly oppress the Israelites. And the word of the Lord comes to Barak, and although he had the word of the Lord that he would defeat Sisera, Barak was afraid to go into battle. And he would not go, he refused to go into battle unless the prophetess Deborah went with him. But at the critical moment, he acted in faith, and he won a huge victory for Israel, defeating Sisera and the Canaanites, an army that had over 900 chariots. Pretty significant. And then there's Samson. Samson, as you know, he routed the Philistines on numerous occasions. His issue, he was tripped up by his lust for foreign women. But then in his last act, he cried out to God and by faith pushed out the temple pillars and demolished the temple of the god Dagon, killing more Philistines in his death than he did in his life. Then there's Jephthah. He was the son of a prostitute. And he was at first driven away by his half-brothers. But later, the elders of his hometown pled with him to return and lead them in battle against their enemy. And through the power of God, he defeated the Ammonites. But then he made a rash vow to sacrifice the first thing that came out of his house when he returned from battle. You know what happened? His only daughter came out to greet him. And you know what Jephthah did? He foolishly kept his vow and sacrificed his first daughter. David, a man after God's heart, who had great faith as a teenager, defeating Goliath. But as you know, later on, he committed adultery and then murder to cover his tracks. However, when he was confronted by the prophet, he cries out in repentance, and he cried out, create in me a clean heart, O God. And even Samuel, although a godly man himself, failed to raise his sons to follow the Lord. And as you go through these lists, all of these people had some serious weakness or and failings. But here's the wonderful thing. In spite of their flaws and failings, God used them because they ultimately put their faith in him as they faced some challenging situations. All of these people had weaknesses and failings. But the Bible tells us through faith, they conquer kingdoms. Through faith, they administer justice. Through faith, they gain what was promised. Their weaknesses being turned to strength through faith in God. And, you know, as I'm reading through that, you know, we all have weaknesses and we all have shortcomings. And you know what? We need to be honest about that and we need to deal with them. And we should be always confronting our sin and work to grow in our relationship with God. But here's the good news. As I acknowledge my weakness and confess my sin, I also remember my faith is in Jesus Christ. My faith is in Jesus Christ, who died to forgive us and cleanse us from all sin. And if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us. And in spite of my weakness, his strength is made perfect in me. Why? Because Jesus is able to save those completely who come to him through God, who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Amen. my weaknesses, my failures don't need to prevent me from trusting and taking steps of faith. Amen? My weaknesses and my failures, they do not have to stop me and they do not have to stop you from taking and trusting God and taking steps of faith. Amen? And here's the other cool thing. They do not prevent God from using us. Amen? We recognize our weaknesses, but at the same time, faith lays hold of God's strength. Because our confidence is not in ourselves. Our confidence is not in my boldness. My confidence is not in my self-righteousness. My confidence is not in my ability. My confidence is not in me. Amen? My confidence is in Him who is able. And it changes everything because it doesn't depend on me. My steps of faith don't depend on me. It depends on my faith in Him who is able. Amen? It depends on Him who is able this morning. Our confidence is not in ourselves. Our confidence is not in our weaknesses. Our confidence is not in us at all. Amen? Faith is confidence in, and it finds its confidence in what is in the reliability of what's believed. I'm not reliable. Sorry. Try to be reliable as I can, but I'm just, you know, I kind of mess it up once in a while. Not as much as, usually it's only once every 6 years now. My confidence is not in me. My confidence in Him who is able this morning. So my weaknesses and my failures, they don't need to prevent me from trusting God and taking steps of faith. And they do not prevent God from using us because our life is hidden in Christ. Amen? Now, unto Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work. Where? In us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Faith enables flawed people to accomplish great things for God. Amen? Then we come to Hebrews 11, 33 to 35, and it says there, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforce justice, obtain mercies, and I love this, stop the mouth of lions, quench the power of fire, escape the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight, and women received back their dead by resurrection. Wow. Conquer kingdoms, enforce justice. You know, what does it take? What does it take to march out against an enemy who in the natural can overpower you like that? What does it take? What does it take to stand up for justice and employ biblical standards of living and treating people? What does it take? What does it take maybe to stand in your work environment when the rest of the employees are ripping off your boss and you know what's wrong and you need to stand up for truth and justice? What does it take, you know, to stand up for truth, to stand up for Jesus when no one else wants to listen to what you have to say? You know, faith involves taking risk. Faith involves taking risk. Faith in God involves putting yourself in situations where if God does not come through, you're finished. Gideon had to take a big risk. Face an army of 135,000 with only 300 men. That's a risk. Faith in God involves putting yourself into situations where if God does not come through, you're done. Stop the mouth of lions. That sounds like, kind of, to me, it sounds like Daniel in the lion's den. King Darius had passed a 30-day decree that anyone who prayed to another god or man other than the king would be thrown into the lion's den. Daniel refused. He would not compromise his faith in God, and he continued to turn and pray to his God, the God of Israel. And as a result, he was thrown into the lion's den. How can anybody stand in the middle of a lion's den and come out alive? How's that happen? How can anybody stand in the middle of a lion's den and come out alive? You know, lions eat things. Lions eat things. I'll tell you a little story. Like when I read that, it came alive for me in a new way when Deb and I, a number of years ago, we had the opportunity to go to Nairobi, and we were visiting all the Elam missionaries in East Africa, and we had the opportunity to go to this zoo in Nairobi. And zoos there are not like zoos here. You know, here we have animals in nice cages, and it's like open plains, but the lions were about to be fed, and so they took us. And where the lions were, they had this fence, but they took us down past the fence, inside where the lions were kept, and there was like this chicken coop wire fence between me and the lion. I'll never forget. I go. And they threw this leg of hind quarter, I don't know if it was a cow or something, they threw it in there, and the lions just went nuts over it. And I remember this big guy, big man, he puts his paw on the lion on this hind quarter, and he looks up and he sees me and he goes, well, that paled compared to, I tell you, I have my heart stopped. Have any of you heard, the lion was like from Rudy away from me, and I got this chicken wire fence in front of me, and this thing just looks up, and he let the most blood-curdling roar go. And I froze, you know. And the guards laughed, of course, because they set it up for that. But I tell you, man, lions, you don't stand in a lion's den and walk away unscathed. They will eat you. What does it take? Daniel, he refused. He would not compromise his faith at risk for his life. If God does not come through, I'm finished. Quench the power of fire. That sounds like Daniel's three friends, who were thrown into the fiery furnace for refusing to bow down to the image of Nebuchadnezzar. They risked everything. And I love what they said. The God we serve is able to deliver us. And he will. I love that. But even if he does not, we will not serve your gods. The flames were so hot that they immediately killed the soldiers who threw them in. And they came out. They came out of that place with no smell of smoke on them, and not a hair on their body was singed. Only God can do that. But faith in God involves risk, and it involves putting yourself in situations where if God does not come through, you're done. Amen? Women received back their dead by resurrection. Only God can do that. escaped the edge of the sword, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight, were made strong out of weakness. You know what they all these things have in common? Faith. Faith that was willing to risk, who through faith in God, who through faith in God stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire. The women received their dead back, escaped the edge of the sword, became mighty in battle, routed foreign armies, were made strong by out of weakness through faith. Faith in God. Faith enables us to accomplish things that are explainable only by God's power. Amen? Faith enables us to accomplish things that are explainable only by God's power. And I was thinking about that. Pray with me. Pray with me that as we as a church step out on faith to do all that He has called us to face the challenge of living to the scriptural standards of what living life together as a community of believers should be like. And I tell you, in today's culture, that's a challenge because we accept every alternative kind of behavior in union except what God calls for in His Word to live and for us to live according to what He calls, what the scriptural standards of what He calls us to live by and live together in that way where people can see the power of God, see His love flow, see people caring for each other, see something other than what this culture is offering people right now. Pray with me that as we walk and fulfill what He's called us to walk in, to face the challenge of doing life together as a community of believers, the kind of community that reveals Jesus and brings people to life-changing encounters with God in the face of a culture that's increasingly antichrist. A community where people can experience genuine love as relationships are formed and expressed in practical ways, particularly as we become part of a life group and invite people to become part of that. Sharing life together in a culture that is increasingly self-serving and self-centered and isolated. A community where we can grow together, serve together, and meet real needs together. Amen? Pray with me as we follow what God has called us to do without shrinking back and drawing back, that He would accomplish through this church, through you and me, that which can only be explained by because He did it. Amen? Because as we step out on faith and do what He's called us to do, He will show Himself strong. Amen? As we take risks of faith and uncompromising walk with God, He will do the rest. Amen? By faith, faith in God. Faith in God enables us to accomplish things that are explainable only by God's power. Amen? I tell you, when I went to Pakistan, I don't know what that was like for you, but I know it was what it was like for me. How, especially the first trip, how on earth, what am I doing? Who do you think you are that you could go to this? Like God said, go. And we all got behind it. And what happened? Miracles happened. People's lives were transformed. Demons were cast out. And people got saved. And people gave their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ in a culture where they were threatened with risk of life. God moved. He sent us. This crazy little church and this crazy little guy took a step of faith. And we saw God move and do things that only He can do by His power. Amen. Things that you read about in the Bible. But faith takes risk. It takes stepping out and risking and believing God that He doesn't come through. Man, oh man, oh man, I am done. But He does come through. Amen? Because faith enables us to accomplish things that are explainable only by God's power. then we come to Hebrews 11:35. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in the desert and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith. Did you hear that? These were all commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us. So only together with us they would be made perfect. We are still part of that story. Amen? The first thing I want to say about those scriptures, suffering persecution doesn't mean God isn't winning. It doesn't mean God isn't winning. And it doesn't mean God isn't faithful. And it doesn't mean God is unconcerned with us. As I was studying through this, I read some stuff on faith, and they all stopped and refused to deal with these last chapters because in their eyes, faith always wins. And faith always does win. Amen? But sometimes we face stuff. Sometimes we face persecution. Sometimes we face challenges. Life does not, there's challenges in life, and you all know that. But because we face the suffering, because we face persecution, it does not mean God isn't winning. It doesn't mean God isn't faithful. It doesn't mean I don't have enough faith to believe. And it doesn't mean God is unconcerned for us, because the Bible says these were all commended for their faith. Amen? They were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. They refused to turn away from God. They refused to compromise their faith. They refused because they knew God was with them. They knew it. As we learned last week, God has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. Why should I be afraid of what people can do to me? They refused because they knew in whom they believed. And nothing was more precious. And they looked forward to the great resurrection, raised with Christ for all eternity. Faith has hope. Amen? I like what you said this morning. We don't grieve as those who have no hope. And our condolences are with you and with you, Sharon. But we don't grieve as those who have no hope, because we have a hope. Even in the face of persecution, in the face of suffering, in the face of imminent death, we do not shrink back because we have a hope. His name is Jesus. Amen. Raised with Christ. They look forward to a better resurrection, to be raised with Christ for all eternity. The Apostle Paul phrased it like this, for our light and momentary troubles. Come on, Paul. Because that for him, that meant beatings, imprisonments, and whippings. And he says, for momentary light troubles. But he says, are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Amen? These incredible martyrs, by faith, they put up with unbelievable torture because they believed God in his promises. They knew God is faithful, and they knew he can be trusted regardless of present circumstance. Amen? And so they look forward to a city with foundations. Like I said last week, that means with foundations. It is a real solid place. They look forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. Amen? When I was in Pakistan, I think it was on the last trip that I took in 2017, we had done a major conference in Taliban territory. And over 10,000, 4,000 gave their hearts to the Lord. What an amazing time. But I met a couple, and they were worship leaders, and they traveled in the nation leading worship. A wonderful couple. And he showed me a scar on his head. He said, that's where the Taliban got me and hit me in the head with a brick and cracked his head open. He said, but that's nothing. He says, my father, he plants churches along the Pakistan-Afghan border. And you may have read about this in the news. It was their father that got captured I don't know if it was a Taliban or a splinter group from them, but they captured him because of the impact he was having in planting churches and people, the amount of people that were coming to faith through Jesus Christ. They captured him and they began to torture him. They put him in this place in some kind of a cell, and they would, this is what they told me, they would take pliers and they would try to pull his tongue out so that he could no longer speak the name of Jesus Christ. And he refused to recant the name of Jesus Christ. He refused because he knew in whom he believed. And he was willing to do whatever it took and endure whatever. I don't know if I would have, I don't know how I would respond to that. But I do know my faith is in Jesus Christ. And at that moment, faith enables. Amen? Somehow, 2 days after he was captured, he managed to escape. And the U.S. was somehow involved in escape, and they got him, and they flew him to the U.S. to get him because he was a hunted man, and they got him to safety. Well, as soon as he recovered, guess where he went right back to? Guess where he went right back to do what he was doing for the cause of Jesus Christ. Faith. Faith. Faith in God. As Martin Luther wrote in the great hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, he writes, that goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. Faith enables us to stand in the face of suffering. Amen? Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Faith enables flawed people to accomplish great things for God. Faith enables us to accomplish things that are explainable only by his power. And faith enables us to stand in the face of suffering. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Dave and Elliot, if you guys can come back. And the rest of us, I just want us to close our eyes and bow our heads. Faith enables. Flawed people to do great things. Accomplish things that are explained only by God's power. And enables us to stand. I want to ask you a question. I'll ask Holy Spirit that you would really speak to us right now. I want to ask you, what step of faith is God calling you to take? What step of faith is God calling you to take? Is your faith such that you will take a step and risk? Maybe God's asking you to stand up and be the Christian where you work at, in the place you work. But there's been a timidity. Is your faith such that you will stand up and risk whatever comes back at you? What is God calling you to do? What step is He asking you to take? What risk are you willing to take? Maybe He's called you to reach out and care for somebody. It might be maybe He's calling you to be a small or a life group leader. You're going, who am I? I don't have anything to offer. Maybe He's calling you to be a Sunday school teacher and influence the destiny of a child for eternity. You say, I don't want to do that. Maybe He's called you to on a missions trip and you're afraid. Maybe He's called you to take a stand in your family and let them see Jesus in you. I don't know, I could go on and come up with it, but Holy Spirit, you speak the hearts right now. Maybe you've got a gift in music and God has challenged you. I should go and talk to them about being in the worship team, but I'm afraid to. I don't know. It could be big things. It could be simple things. But for you, it's a step of faith and obedience to God. It's time to let your life make a difference for the kingdom of God, amen? Whether it's a big thing or a little thing, it's a step of faith in obedience to God. You know, it may be as simple, and this is not simple, but it may be standing at the front door, greeting someone and say, we are so glad that you're here. Welcome. You belong. Making people feel welcome. I don't know what God is calling you to do. Excuse me. Maybe He's calling you to sacrifice like you've never sacrificed before. I wasn't going to go here, but in the area of finances and giving, maybe He's called you to be a giver and give and sow into His kingdom so those that are serving have the resources to do what they've been called to do. I don't know. And if you don't know what step of faith God is calling you to do, go before Him and ask. And you know what? I promise you, He will tell you. And then I encourage you to put your faith in Jesus Christ. Not in your strength, not in your ability, but in His ability, in Him who is faithful and who has called you to Himself. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So, Father, You speak to us. Even through this week, You speak to us. Father, let us be a people of faith who put their faith in You and are willing to take risks regardless of what the circumstances in our life are or could be, that we trust You Because, Father, you enable flawed people to accomplish great things for God. Faith enables us to do things that are only explainable by your power. And we can stand in the face of whatever because our confidence is in you, Jesus. Pour out in this place, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together.